Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Recycling update, you guys may have seen us post, we do have recycling cans back out in the field finally, out from under storage areas for us and back into citizens' hands. The last update I got, I know we were well over 500 signups and of course growing every day.
Yeah, much more than 500, I'm sure, even by now a day later, but yeah, having the cans back in people's possessions so that they can the cans no longer in their possession into the cans, because it was a 5:10 in the morning joke that cans in the, okay, so we're just gonna say it's the recycling is happening again in Pensacola. I thought it was interesting that previously if you wanted two separate containers, that what you would do is have two separate accounts and pay two separate total fees. And I agree with the mayor. That doesn't make a lot of sense, you know, from a logistics point of view. And so extra cans are just $8, just like having a recycling can is $8. So if you want to have, I guess, theoretically, like three recycling cans and five garbage cans, because let's say you've got four teenagers, which seems about the right math, then, just pay. It reminds me, what's the old Domino's? Was it Domino's or Pizza Hut? Is it regular price, $4, $4, $4? It's regular price, $8. That's what you ought to use. So anyway, that's good. You know, people are, the era of no recycling is over for now. Remember always that a recycling facility can have a fire or an incident, and then the recycling doesn't happen for a while. You know, I mean, we've had things happen before. I'm not saying it's happened. I just, it's always possible. Meanwhile, parking got a year's worth of data now that last year's expansion of parking, changes of hours, increase of rates, going to the app, and then the other app, and then eventually the other app, that we have a lot of data to work with. And I thought this was really interesting. This was kind of data nerd stuff, but it's still interesting.
Since August, city residents are, of all the users that had transactions in parking downtown, city residents are 14% of that. 86% of the people that, of the customer that makes a transaction, 86% of those customers do not live in the city.
I thought that was a very high number. I don't know what I expected the number to be, but that seemed high to me. One in six people who park downtown, use the app and pay for parking, live in the city. Five in six. Six sixes, then one six leaves five sixes, or to use his math, 14% versus 86%, live outside the city, as in primarily in, Gulf Breeze and or Escambia County, and, maybe some in Pace Milton, right, who work downtown or go downtown. So I just thought that was an interesting split. That number holds up across categories. No matter how you slice the data, you get something relatively similar.
If you go to revenue, total revenue generated since August, 79% of parking revenue is generated by non-city residents. So only 21% of the overall parking revenue that's coming into the city right now is being paid for by city residents, 79% coming from non-city.
So about a fifth, 20 is a fifth. 21% of the revenue is from city residents. 14% of the customers are city residents. And then 24% of the total transactions. Again, it's just a matter of which data piece matters. The rough takeaway from this is that the vast majority of people who pay for parking downtown, whether you count it by customers, transactions, or total dollar amount spent, don't live in the city. And that's an interesting bit of news. I don't think it's all that surprising. It's a little surprising to me, but it's not all that surprising. But then it raises the question of, okay, well, if you're going to spend the money being taken in by parking, what do you spend it for, and what's the right fair way to do it?
When it's time for that $20 million parking garage, when it's time to reimagine Palafox Street, when it's time to do all those things, my choices are I can put it on the backs of 55,000 people who live here, whether they use downtown or not, or I could try to recoup dollars from people who don't live here, who don't pay city tax, who aren't investing in that infrastructure and try to get some revenue generation from those folks that are enjoying downtown at a, what I consider to be at a dollar an hour. I don't get a lot of complaints on cost. I think it's more technology and more getting used to something new.
City residents already pay an enhanced property tax because they live in the city. And he says, look, if we're going to do things that are, with the money that we generate downtown, we're going to improve amenities or we're going to provide for more parking, for example. Well, why do we need more parking in the city of Pensacola in the downtown area? Because so many of y'all, this would include myself because I don't live in the city, I live in the county, so many of y'all come downtown and use downtown. So who's really making it so we have to spend more money on a parking garage or more facilities or whatever? Well, it's not city residents, so why would you pay for it out of city funds? Make the county pay for it. Well, you know, the Board of County Commissioners is not going to pay for it. What's a fair way to do it? Well, make the people who are doing the parking pay for the parking. A user fee is what he calls it, which...
That is the goal, is for us, is it's a user fee. And whether you're from Kentucky or Montana or you're from the city, it's a user fee and it's people only paying it when they come downtown.
Now, John, I know you haven't been my producer for a long time. About a year, right?
Yeah.
We just had your anniversary recently. Okay. So you haven't really heard me wrangling with the mayor about this addition of paid parking, about the gradual elimination of free spots downtown, the acquisition of different parking lots from free into paid or from parking lot status into, say, green space, grassy knoll behind the T.T. Wentworth Museum, right? Remember?
Right.
I was not a fan because that was a major parking area, you know, like. Over time, it's become harder and harder to find what Andrew McKay's apparent main priority in life is, which is free parking.
Right.
I don't pay for parking almost ever. It's almost a religion with me that I will not pay for parking.
And I will drive and walk.
Okay. And when I have to, like at a boat ramp in Destin, I just eats me up inside to have to pay for parking. Okay. So that's my view. But... let me step outside of Andrew McKay's own selfish pecuniary thrift and look at it as a matter of fairness. And as a matter of fairness, if the vast majority of the people, 5-1, 4-1, 3-1, depending on which slice of the data you want to use, are people who don't live in the county or don't live in the city, who live in the county, well, look, I'm not, it doesn't cost me anything to use the free parking downtown. So who am I to complain about it? I mean, as much as I hate to acknowledge it, as much as I hate to admit it, it is fair. Oh, this kills me. It is fair. I'm going to have to say fair. This to the mayor today. I really am. It's embarrassing. But it is fair to make the people who aren't paying anything in taxes pay to provide the service that they benefit from, which is the availability of parking. Oh, kills me. But now it doesn't mean I'm going to be more eager to pay for parking. It does mean that there is a kind of economic justice in not making city residents pay more to provide for more parking, but instead making non-city residents pay for the privilege of using parking and for the use of that towards providing more parking. There is a... God, I hate it. Anyway, but that... it's not wrong. The idea is who should pay for that free park? Who should pay for that parking space? Should the city pay for it? Well, you know, I want to go downtown and I want to go downtown for free and I don't want to use this stupid app. This is Andrew McKay slash any 80-year-old talking. but is that right? Well, no, that's entitled and privileged and selfish and... unfair.
But
so
let me ask you a question. Does this discourage you from going downtown?
Of course. Well, yeah. I mean,
it does to me.
It makes me not want to go. Yeah.
Exactly.
And it makes, like, I have been the opponent of everything DC has done in this regard. We've had some pretty vivid disagreements about this.
I want to say in depth, but
yeah. And I've been the guy saying nobody likes this system. Nobody likes paying. People will avoid downtown. People get frustrated, irritated. Even if they go, they're angry about it, you know. And that's all true. But he's also right that transactions and revenue are up. And so in the aggregate, although there are some people that have that mindset, there are enough other people that it doesn't matter. Screw you. I mean, the problem is we all think of downtown, or at least we used to. I used to think of downtown as the cool place I could go and park easily for free and do whatever I needed to do to participate in the benefits of living so close to a thriving downtown. And then it became not that. And that's frustrating. Well, that's more a matter of losing a privilege that you had taken for granted that didn't cost you anything, didn't cost me anything, that I just didn't want to have to pay for, and now I do. Or I have to work harder because I have to park farther away, find a free... And there's still, this is a point DC will always make, there's plenty of free parking still. And there is still plenty of free parking, almost all the time. On Spring Street, for example, you just go a little farther away or go to the other side or whatever. Anyway, so, I hate it. I still hate it. I don't like it. But is it fair to make me pay? And I did actually have to pay for parking recently.
What?
I did. Yeah, because I had to go downtown and get a boat permit, and you had to go downtown to do it, and I had to pay. I had to download that bleeping app. I did, and I had to pay, and then I had to pay extra because I had to wait because you have to be right because they have to look at your
right.
They have to look at your car registration. You don't have to look at your boat registration, right? So all this stuff. Anyway. One other quick thing I just want to make sure we get to in talking about this is permits are coming. You know, winter is coming. Permits are coming. There are at least three different kinds of permits for parking that are coming.
We're still aggressively moving towards permits. We will be offering to every city resident. They will have 50% off parking 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, parking anywhere in the city. So they'll have to verify with Park Mobile, with us, and we'll, more details on that, whether that's a power bill or something like that. But if you'll verify that you live in the city, and then your Park Mobile app will automatically only charge you half the rate, and no transaction fee. So it'll be a flat 50 cents. It won't be 50 cents plus anything else.
And again, if city residents are already paying money to provide for this infrastructure, and they are, then there's a sense in which it makes sense to charge them less, you know? It's kind of like how you like charging the out-of-towners your TDT money, you know, TDT collection, bed tax, or sales tax, you know, and similarly here, you charge the out-of-cityers, you know, but people from Mobile, the people from Pace, the people from Santa
Rosa,
Escambia
County. But here's my question.
It actually does make sense, you know.
What?
Not charging locals zero, but right. Charging them half.
Yeah. But what about the, Escambia County and Santa Rosa County residents?
Yeah.
Can we get a discount?
Well,
I mean, that would encourage me to go downtown more.
You can't get the city resident discount of half price that you get automatically by paying. Wait for it.
And then the second is we're going to, for our city seniors, 65 and up, we're working out final details of it. But what we intend to do is have a permit for only city seniors. We'll probably start with one car per household just to make sure we don't flood the market too quickly. But what will the format will be that their license plate will be verified as a permitted license plate, so you won't actually have to mess with the app at all.
So if you're 65 and up, you'll pay $10 to $15 a month, some kind of pretty nominal fee, and then you get as much parking as you like, which would really be 20 to 30 hours at 50 cents an hour, But which in a month, I mean, depending on how you use downtown, that's either an enormous amount of time or that's like, barely anything. Okay. And they're working on, John, to your point,
right.
What about people who use it frequently? Employees is one of the ones that they're kind of working on. There's some other things that they're working on.
We will have permits that are available for non-city residents, folks who work downtown, all of that. Those are going to be formatted a little differently. But we have enough detail, or we've confirmed enough that we're going down the road on these two that I can share that with you. But I don't want you guys to report that that's all we're doing.
Yeah, theoretically, there's lots of different things, and every permit could have some hybrid structure. It could be a monthly fee or an annual fee, and then that could entitle you perhaps to free parking. That could entitle you to reduced cost parking. You know, there's all kinds of ways you can make this work, and we'll, of course, talk with the mayor about this morning at 7:35. But the rates are low, and as much as people will complain and do, and I do, complain about the just irritation of having to pay for parking in a place where you just didn't have to, and you still don't in a lot of places, okay? It is low. I mean, $1 an hour is pretty cheap. You know, it's about half of what the studies indicate other comparable cities are. But of course, what I always say is, well, I don't want to be the comparable cities. You know, I liked what we were, but we're not anymore. So anyway, there's your kind of comprehensive what's going on with parking and why Andrew McKay is an entitled, spoiled child and wants it to stay that way and is angry when it doesn't get to stay that way. So that's my way of apologizing, I guess, for my view over all these years. 525 on News, or 524 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay, and if you need to buy a new car because you need to go downtown and park with, I don't, it doesn't really, there's no connection. Frontier Motors, though, has a great selection of good quality used cars. Cars that are a year to 4 years young, cars that are 10 to 40,000, 50,000 miles, something like that. Cars where you're going to be probably the second owner, maybe the third, but they're in good condition. They warranty them to 100,000 miles or 10 years because they know they'll stand by the quality of, you know, what you're buying. You don't have to worry about buying something that's not good. It's going to be good. That's Dave Ramsey recommends them. I recommend them. Lots of local bumper stickers and license plate frames recommend them. You know, lots and lots of people buy cars from Frontier Motors. They understand you don't like the process, and they try to make it suck as little as possible. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. You know, maybe it's not going to be enjoyable. Although there is something they do. I don't want to tell you. I don't want to ruin it for you. There is something they do when you buy a car. It's really cool. That you will actually enjoy. But, you know, generally speaking, the process of buying a car isn't great fun. But they know that what they do can make it as least unfun as possible, if that's a selling point. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Hi, this is J.P. with Buggy Works, inviting you to come see us at our brand new facility in the heart of Car City. Buggy Works is the premier golf cart and LSV supercenter and is the authorized sales and service dealership for Denago, Star EV, Yamaha, and EasyGo franchises. We have the largest selection of new and pre-owned vehicles and rentals, so stop by Buggy Works at 5831 Pensacola Boulevard or visit us online at buggyworks.com. That's BuggyWorks.com, buggyworks.com.
The cost of healthcare is all in the news. Tune in Friday at 9 for the Pensacola Expert Panel, as ProHealth will be the guest. They'll be discussing the advantages their ProHealth medical program can bring to you. ProHealth also offers 20 affordable ultrasounds. Find out how ProHealth can help you reduce the stress and cost of healthcare. Friday on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
All beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun.
Anytime you can just make a random lyric of Dig,
make it just work.
I know, right? 527 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, it is official, Andrew. You can keep your shoes on at the airport when you're going through the security checkpoint. That confirmed by the TSA on Tuesday. Ends a two-decade-old rule, and Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem says that is nationwide and takes effect immediately.
Oh, okay. See, I had checked with Matt Coughlin at the airport, and, you know, he said he wasn't 100% certain that that was the everywhere, everybody policy yet, so it was a sort of a tentative yes. So you're saying it's everywhere, everybody.
That is according to Kristi Noem, yeah.
Okay, okay.
All over the place.
I guess, well, she, you know, I guess Matt doesn't work for her, but she outranks him.
In theory, yes, possibly.
Right.
So throw away the Velcro shoes. You can use real knots again in your shoelaces.
Velcro shoes. Yes. Oh, my God. Am I having flashbacks? Go on.
The biggest earthquake swarm in 16 years has hit under Mount Rainier in Washington State. Hundreds of small earthquakes were felt across the wide area of the mountain this week. The U.S. Geological Survey says the earthquakes alone, though, are not a big cause for concern. And the State Department says somebody used an AI-generated voice of Secretary of State Marco Rubio to contact U.S. and foreign officials. The person apparently contacted three foreign ministers and two U.S. officials in mid-June using the Signal messaging app and left voicemails for at least two of them.
the crazy part about this story, it's somewhat crazy that they use Signal, right? Remember Signal was the
app they were using
to discuss the, well, depending on who you ask, either secret or perfectly fine for anybody to know about plans. The Atlantic. That's right. It was the publisher of The Atlantic who was in on that. But yeah, it's funny because Marco Rubio has been one of these advocates against the deepfakes. Like, he's one of the earliest ones to really raise the alarm bells on deepfakes. And now they deepfaked him using AI-generated fake, you know, voiceware to call these foreign folks and even some local folks and pretend to be. It's not good. I'll say it that way. There was a story. I don't think I have it in my prep. This was from a week or two ago. Somebody, it was in Europe. I want to say it was on the continent. Anyway, they had passed a law allowing, or were working on legislation that allowed you to own your likeness and voice. So, like, basically you were born into the property right, the IP, the intellectual property of owning your image and voice. And anybody who impersonated you digitally was committing a crime. I love that idea. That you own it by right, by nature, and nobody else can use it or impersonate it without your permission. That is the right default setting.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop. At least 111 people perishing in the Texas Hill Country flood disaster. Fox Weather's Haley Meyer is in Kerrville, where search and rescue turning into search and recovery.
We're now day five, day six, give or take, out from this. And so it becomes a lot harder to find these folks alive. They're doing everything they can, boat, helicopter. We've seen it all here.
At least 173 people in the area are still missing. President Trump says he will give the details to at least seven trade deals this morning, with more deals in the afternoon. Meanwhile, he's angry at Russian leader Vladimir Putin.
He's killing a lot of people, and a lot of them are his soldiers. His soldiers and their soldiers, mostly. And it's now up to 7,000 a week, and I'm not happy with Putin.
Russia fires a record 728 drones and 13 missiles, the Ukrainian Air Force said today. Another escalation of Russia's more than three-year war. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 78 degrees in Pensacola. Santa Rosa County residents might see a bit less infrastructure development next year due to a $12 million budget shortfall. County commissioners are being forced to look at defunding some projects and reallocating money to balance the budget.
And what we don't have the money for is the $45 million Berry Hill widening, the $26 million Chemucla one, the $155 million bridge. So that was the real point. I mean, we're not going to close up shop. We're going to still serve our citizens. We just have to be aware that, you know, we're spending a little bit out of our savings account. Every year it's going to deplete.
Santa Rosa County Administrator Brad Baker. The board meets on Thursday to continue budget discussions and present a list of capital projects for prioritization. An 18-year-old and three juveniles were arrested this week after a shots fired incident at the Blue Wahoo Stadium on Monday. Now, this all reportedly started with several groups of teenagers in that parking lot throwing firecrackers. But when one of the fireworks got a little bit too close to somebody's vehicle, they were upset and wanted to fight. Well, that's when Jose Adrian Vallejo is alleged to have pushed a victim to the ground and taken their 9mm handgun from their vehicle. Police say the victim then approached Vallejo and his group with a second gun and demanded that pistol back. At one point in the altercation, police say that Vallejo had fired several shots at the victims as they drove away. Now, nobody was hit by that gunfire, but Vallejo is being held on multiple charges, including aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, burglary, grand theft of a firearm, and possession of a firearm in commission of a felony. Three juveniles involved were booked into the Department of Juvenile Justice. The on-again, off-again relationship between Key West and ICE is now apparently back on. The City Commission voting now 4-2 to approve a 287G agreement with ICE. That means ICE and the city will now again work together on immigration enforcement. The police chief there signed the agreement in March, but the City Commission voided that last week before they reversed course yesterday. Well, Governor Ron DeSantis making his stance on amnesty known. Newsweek's Josh Hammer wrote on X yesterday that there's a bit of a whisper campaign going around in conservative circles right now. Hammer said the goal is amnesty for illegal immigrants. Well, DeSantis wrote on X, quote, no amnesty, no debate, no compromise. 534 News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We are going to have a beautiful but hot day today. Temperatures near 92 degrees for your high. 30% chance of a stray shower in the afternoon. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Thursday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 91. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 77. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Right now, we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 78 degrees. Your next news is at 6 a.m. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Pittsburgh-based natural gas producer EQT Corporation has acquired local competitor Olympus Energy for $1.8 billion. The deal, which officially closed last week, consolidates EQT's control over regional natural gas deposits at a time of rising demand. Alphabet's Waymo is launching a new account type that lets teenagers hail a robo-taxi and ride alone, expanding its rider base while continuing to test its service in more U.S. cities. Teens from 14 to 17 years old can have a user profile paired to a parent's account starting on Tuesday. The program will initially be available where Waymo's vehicles operate in the Metro Phoenix area. The company intends to expand teen service to other cities soon. President Trump said he will impose a 50% tariff on copper imports and suggested more steep sector-specific duties are on the way. Trump added he would soon announce tariffs at a very high rate, like 200% on pharmaceutical imports. Futures are slightly higher. That's Your Money Now.
Got a bug problem? Or worse, a rodent situation? Insect makes pest control for your home easy and effective. First, Insect thoroughly inspects the problem and provides you with a free estimate and a treatment plan. Then once on the job, Insect identifies targets and eliminates common household pests, including rodents, roaches, ants, and fleas, with guaranteed results. Insect's professionally trained technicians will safely and effectively eliminate pests inside and outside, while also taking preventative steps to stop other pests from infesting your home. Afterwards, a report with pictures will be emailed to let you know what was found and the work that was performed. To make it even easier, Insect offers annual and quarterly pest control services to stop pests from infesting your home. Guaranteed. Outside, inside, from inspection to treatment to follow-up. Insect Pest and Lawn makes whole home protection safe and easy. Just say no to bugs. Join the Insect family today online at insect.net. That's E-N-S-E-C.net.
Looking for a local shop that carries Michelin tires that you can trust? In Pensacola, that place is Tire Trust. Downtown on the corner of Gregory and Balin, Tire Trust has been taking care of people in Pensacola for over 23 years. Featuring the Michelin line, Tire Trust prides themselves on service you can trust. Tire Trust is more than a tire store. They're a full-service shop taking care of all your automotive needs. For service you can trust and Michelin tires, put your trust in Tire Trust.
Good morning, guys. I just want to warn you, traffic is tough out there.
We are here for you to tell you how to keep safe.
Everybody who is listening needs to take cover as soon as they can.
To provide the music, talk, and sports you love. And to deliver the news that matters to you. We are the voices you can trust. We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress you depend on your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
they did not activate the crosswalk lights. So they went across dark. And I think there was an EMS vehicle that was actually en route to another call, and they actually witnessed it. So they noticed that that hadn't been activated.
Of course, that's Steven Schroberger, Commissioner for District 1, talking about this terrible accident that took place on Purdue Drive over the weekend at River Road, where two people were killed apparently by an off-duty Escambia County Sheriff's deputy driving in the area, but with the lights not activated because there was a paramedic or an ambulance there that saw this happen, and just a terrible situation. Joining us here in studio, as he always does on a Tuesday, Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff. Chip Simmons, Sheriff, of course, I wanted to give you a chance to talk about this and say whatever. I know, you know, it's being investigated, FHP. It's their case because they do crashes, not you. And, of course, it's your agency, so somebody else will investigate. But still, you know, your opportunity to talk about this and tell us what you know or what you can say at this point.
Well, I mean, obviously, it's a terrible tragedy. No one wants to for this to happen. It is, as you say, being investigated by the Florida Highway Patrol. So I will simply be able to tell you that the deputy's on paid administrative leave based upon this crash investigation that the Highway Patrol is going to be taking care of. And that is going to include a complete blood screen that takes place every time. Every time that there's an employee that is involved in an accident in a county vehicle, and he was driving a county vehicle, a taxpayer vehicle.
But not a marked vehicle, right?
No, not a marked car. Okay. His daily assignment was internal affairs, so he was driving an unmarked vehicle.
And he was coming from the Floribama?
He was working off-duty job at the Floribama, yes.
But there was also like a crash down the road at the same time. That's where the ambulance was headed, was to the crash, right?
Yeah, after he left the Floribama, after his gig was up, he left the Floribama, then he assisted with a crash that occurred down the street.
Okay.
And then the ambulance was heading to that crash as the deputy was heading back to his
house. He was working a crash. They were heading to a crash. And in the process, pedestrians crossed in front of him without the crosswalk stuff being activated. Anyway, go ahead. I interrupted you.
I can't get into it. I don't think it's good form for me to get into the details because the Florida Highway Patrol is taking care of that. So
sure.
I'm not going to get ahead of their investigation. We trust that they'll do a good job, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. And, I mean, again, I know you can't really say too much, but is there any indication he was doing anything wrong, any indication that, you know, because people see it as a sheriff's deputy and they think, well, this shouldn't happen. And I think, well, pedestrians in the dark and crossing a road, I mean.
Yeah.
If you can't say anything, it's fine.
Yeah, if I comment too much, it'll be about the investigation itself. I think that once the Highway Patrol completes their investigation, then I'll obviously readdress it. But I think before they complete it, it's not a good thing for me to
make
my comments yet.
Let's go back a little bit in history because it's been 2 weeks since you and I talked. Of course, I was off last week. One of the stories from about maybe 2 weeks ago or so was at the Hotel Del Sol, where a guy got, I guess, kind of, I don't know, honeypotted, seduced in to meet a woman, and then he got kidnapped and armed robbery, basically, from three guys who jumped out of him at the hotel room. Is that right?
Yeah, basically, that's what happened. He was there to meet an individual that he had arranged to meet for a sexual encounter, and then when he got inside, I think three, four males entered the room and beat him up and took his keys and his wallet and stole everything they could from him. We're investigating. We do have some suspects that we're looking into, and obviously once we get to the bottom of it, we'll make the arrests.
Man, that's just, I mean, you know, scary stuff. 28-year-old resident from Chandler, Arizona, was here in town and apparently allegedly was drunk and ran into one of your deputy's vehicles, and you chased him and caught him. And
yeah, we were on the side of the road doing investigation. Car comes up and hits our deputy, our marked cruiser car.
With lights on?
Yeah, I believe it had lights on. and then takes off. And then we found him right down the street and ended up arresting him for DUI.
I always think about, you know, when you guys have somebody pulled over, how, you know, you're out there walking close to traffic. I mean, and you see some of these videos from horrible, terrible things that happen. And you adopt all kinds of strategies, you know, parking at an angle, you know, if somebody
runs
into your car.
Well, they teach you that, where to park and how to angle your car.
But there's still, you know, some drunk driver runs into you while you have the lights on. How do you just, crazy, but okay.
Yeah, like you said, you've seen a lot of these videos where, like on the highway, and we talked about FHP, but they do a lot of traffic stops, obviously on the interstate. And you got to be very careful with that because a lot of times they're not very far off the roadway and the speed limits are 70.
And you have to move. The law is to move over,
or reduce your speed,
right.
20 under the speed limit if you can't move over. But, yeah, you should obviously move over. And even if you move over, you still should slow down.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had a case, and this is getting a little bit closer in time. I think this was on, let's see, the 2nd. You had and this had kind of made a bunch of news over the last couple of days anyway, was a woman who attacked one of the employees at the Metro PCS with a knife.
Yeah, there was a disturbance inside that Metro PCS. I think there were three or four individuals that were there, and then they had an encounter with the employee that led to the disturbance moving outside of the store. And at one point, one of the females took a knife and stabbed the employee in the face. We ended up arresting that lady and one other lady for the incident. So there were two arrests made. Obviously, you stab someone in the face, you're trying to kill them.
Yeah,
to me, and the lady's just trying to do her job. You know, she's working at the store, and again, I don't know the details of what the argument was about. It doesn't really matter. You don't get to stab someone in the face.
You also just had this. I mean, again, horrible story of, I guess it was the son got into an argument with his dad over the TV or something, and winds up killing him.
Yeah, actually, it was the uncle.
Uncle, okay.
A man shot and killed his uncle in a, I guess, domestic type of a quarrel, something about the television, and then obviously escalated. The reason that it was mistakenly put out as a son shot his father is because the caller called and said that her grandson had shot her son.
Okay.
And so it's so obviously that was still the first uncle
round
the
pass
father.
At the information.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's where that originally came out of. But, yeah, that you know, we talk a lot about find somewhere else to go, and apparently at one point he did and then came back.
Oh.
So, again, these are some things that the investigation, whenever our deputies get there, we look at it and did not determine it to be self-defense, and obviously he was arrested.
I wanted to talk about some of the other things that are sort of the not crimes things, but, are still very important. ShotSpotter got vetoed. Is that right?
That's right.
This is an Andrade. This is an Alex Andrade bill. Ran this bill.
He did.
Okay.
He did. All right. And again, for people that are listening, we originally got the ShotSpotter program, 2 square miles in the county, 1 square mile in the city, and we applied for it, on behalf of both agencies. And we got the appropriation the first time.
You know, I had mistakenly thought that it was 3 square miles in the county and 3 square miles in the city, so it was 6 altogether.
No.
It was 2 and 1 for 3
right,
total.
Right,
okay, thank you. I had that wrong in my head.
And I
go
believe
ahead.
We both used heat maps to determine what the best location was. So for the last couple of years, we've had the ShotSpotter program attached to a real-time crime center.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually just a small part of the real-time crime center, but it's something that was beneficial to have. So we asked for it again, but politics being what they are, decisions were made, and so this next appropriation was nixed, which means that we will, whenever their current contract expires, we will no longer have the ShotSpotter program. Now, we still have the cameras. We're still going to have the real-time crime center. We're still going to have a lot of things that we already have, but the ShotSpotter program itself, because we do not have the funding, the $300,000+,
yeah.
Because, as you know, most of our budget, the overwhelming majority of our budget is people.
Right,
you know, it's always a personnel thing. So we're, we want to get as many deputies on the streets as we possibly can. So, bottom line is, and I'm not getting into petty politics. I'm just, it is what it is. The decision was made, and we're going to move forward.
Did the governor's office call you, tell
No.
you, warn you, anything?
No.
Okay. And I know $300,000 is a lot, but and I don't really know what the foundation budget is, but it sounds like there's not enough money there to cover it, or there's, you know.
It's certainly not recurring costs like that.
Okay.
The foundation has two purposes, and that's the engagement, and it's also the wellness of the employees. So
okay.
that really wouldn't fit into the foundation.
We have Blue Angels coming up. Obviously, it's a big weekend for the community, big weekend for the economy, big weekend for law enforcement. Anything we need to know? Any plans you guys are going to tell us at 5 a.m. on Friday and Saturday? The lot's closed.
Probably. I mean,
just go ahead and put it out now. 5 a.m. is closed.
There was a lot of people there were some complaints about traffic and not being able to get off of the beach during the 4th of July.
Yeah.
All I can tell you is if you have a hard time getting onto the island, to the relatively small island, you're probably going to have a hard time getting off of the island. Now
slow down. You want to wait. Slow down now. Say this again, because that's a little complicated for me. Say this again.
Yeah, you would think that it would be so complicated, but if you're waiting on the bridge to get into this island,
okay. So I'm waiting.
You have a hard time finding a place to park.
It's hard to get in. Second part.
It's gonna be hard to find a place to park.
Yeah.
And then it's gonna be hard to get out quickly.
Huh. Okay. All right. I'm just processing a little bit. Yeah.
Blew your mind, didn't I?
Especially given that the show ends at a time. And people arrive over time for the beginning. I mean, over a course of an hour, and they all try to leave at the same time. So, okay.
Yeah. You figure that people get there over the course of 6 hours or so, and then everyone wants to leave in 15 minutes after it's over. Now, again, it's a great opportunity for people to see the Blue Angels and the environment, a beach setting, and all that sort of thing. So we understand a lot of people are going to want to be there. We just be patient.
Yeah. No, good advice. See, is there very much crime at the air show?
You know, the number of people that are there, I would say no. I mean, again, we have some people overindulge.
Sure.
And some people get with the heat, their tempers flare a bit.
Drunk, hot people get smarter, we know, right?
Yeah, and people get more patient. The horns start working a little bit longer and a little harder. But for the number of people that are out there, mostly it's a well-behaved family environment.
Yeah, and I just know in crowds there's always concerns, you know, and obviously we live in an environment where we have heightened awareness to malicious actors, and I didn't know if you guys are doing anything particular different this year or anything people ought to be prepared for, you know?
No, I wouldn't say we're doing anything different. We're obviously aware of some of the concerns and that people might have throughout the world, really. And for years now, we have been working with all of our law enforcement partners. We talked a lot about FHP and the Marine Patrol and the Coast Guard and the FBI. We are sharing information, and anyone that, I'm not saying you can, but there's a Escambia County is a big command post. I think they call it Thor. Well, everyone is sitting in this one big room, and so there's communication amongst agencies, which you would hope takes place. So we're going to have a number of deputies out there. The Island Authority does a really good job of coordinating with us, and we say, hey, we're going to have 80 deputies or 60 deputies.
Wow.
And I don't know the exact
number.
Out of
an agency of 450?
About 450.
Okay.
Almost 450.
So 20% of your deputies are going to be working that day at the beach.
Wow. It's going to be pretty close to that. And again, that's just the
sheriff's
office.
And that's in uniform and not in uniform, right?
Most of those are in uniform. Okay. We only have just a few because we want as much presence,
visibility
as we possibly can out there.
Just a quick question because it caught my attention the other day. One of your it's got a solar panel and a bottom truck and then an array of cameras at the top. I don't remember what you call it.
Yeah, we just call it a portable camera platform.
Okay. There was one at Davis and the McDonald's right across the street at the Mexican restaurant going into the Grocery Advantage there. I forget the name of that street at that light. Was there a reason? I was just curious. I'd never seen it there before. I saw it there yesterday.
Typically, there are reasons. Usually, we'll have situations where people are doing a lot of criminal mischief around something or there's some car burglaries. The people that are worried about immigration, it wasn't there to document anyone or anything like that. But I don't know the exact details on what that thing's placed for. We have a number of those cameras. We put a lot of our resources. We talked about resources earlier. We put our money into these cameras so that we can. We'll have a lot of them at the beach. In fact, they're probably getting ready to get them at the beach probably on, Thursday.
Probably deploy most of them to the beach, right? Just with the crowd
and
the usefulness.
Well, that's what they're for. They're for large crowds so that we can make sure that we have get a handle on what's going on.
You ever put horseback at the beach? Has that ever happened?
Has it ever happened? Probably in the past. It's not happened.
Just
since
makes
I've
me think of that. I think it'd be interesting to see horses tromping around.
It's if it's hot for us, it's probably hot for the horses.
I would think
as well.
So probably not.
Yeah, okay. Probably not.
Just checking. I have weird ideas.
They walk around with coats all the time.
Sheriff Chip Simmons. It's Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, sir. Thank you so much for the time. Have a great weekend this coming up weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Let me describe the joy of being Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons when he gets to come in for these interviews every week, knowing that at some point during the interview, I am going to ask him a question he did not expect. That nobody expected. What's that you say? Horses on the beach? Well, I've seen Planet of the Apes. I know they can go there. So, you know, I've seen the Black Stallion. I know. But why, Andrew? Why? I don't know. It's live radio. 553 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you need to sell a house or buy a house, you need a good realtor. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. They're really good realtors. They sell, last year they sold 165 homes. The year before that, 175. The year before that, over 200. I think it was 230. If I remember correctly. And you say, well, that was a lot. Why is it less now? Well, because it's not as easy, right? You know, for a couple of years, though, you remember it was, I mean, anybody could sell any house in a day. I mean, not anybody could sell. But, you know, a lot of people were selling houses pretty quick. You would say a house is for sale. You get six offers, four for cash, three above list price. You know, I mean, that kind of stuff, okay? Now, she says the market is coming back a little bit now, and it's starting to be a little bit more where you might get multiple offers. Probably not the same day, probably not above list, probably not cash. Yeah, but it's better. But the point is still, when the market is easy, you need a good realtor to get your best results. When the market is less easy, you need a realtor to get your best results because they help you know what's normal, what's the right price, how to stage, how to open house, how to list it on the internet, all of that stuff. And then whenever you get an offer, they can turn that offer into an actual closing instead of letting it kind of slip through your fingers, which happens a lot of times because people don't have enough experience solving the problems and making sure that everything works out right in the end. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 786-3996.
What's everyone worried about right now? Costs going up. And if you're thinking of starting a business, that's even scarier. That's one of the many reasons why becoming a Janie King Gulf Coast franchisee is a great idea. Offices and businesses are always going to need to be cleaned. Janie King has built a proven system that gives you the tools to take control of your future confidently and with the support you need to thrive. Take control of your future today at JannieKingCleans.com.
Janie King, the king of clean.
Hi, I'm retired Rear Admiral Kyle Kozed, President and CEO of the Naval Aviation Museum Foundation. You are cleared for takeoff at the National Naval Aviation Museum. From thrilling hands-on experiences to historical insights, the National Naval Aviation Museum is where dreams take flight. Go mock speed in a flight simulator. Let inspiration soar among the 150 beautifully restored aircraft. Remember the moments in the giant screen theater and capture it all in the flight deck store. Visit NavalAviationMuseum.org to plan your visit today.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out tomorrow morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this tomorrow morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
It's the 2025 Blue Angels Air Show at the beach. And you can hear the narration right here on News Radio 92.3. Bring your radio and tune in on Friday at 2. And then on Saturday starting at 11 to hear the narration from the News Radio team. Plus insights from former Blue Angels boss, Captain Greg McWherter. This Blue Angels broadcast is brought to you by Dale's Marine Construction, Buggy Works, Marine Max, Patriotic Paving, and Gulf Coast Air Tours.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed, stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. Still bad in Texas right now. Catastrophic flooding continuing to devastate central Texas. As of now, more than 160 people still remain missing. And the death toll has topped 110, of course, including the people at that girls' summer camp along the Guadalupe River there.
You have to assume that if they're still missing,
right,
they're not coming back. So I don't mean to be morbid, but I'm anticipating more than 200 people dead, because that's, I think, the only reasonable thing to think. And then you've got the flooding in North Carolina. You got flooding in New Mexico. It's bad. Of course, what happened in Texas is just incomprehensible. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, but Governor Greg Abbott, though, is vowing that search efforts will not stop until every missing person is accounted for there. He made those comments yesterday. The State Department says somebody used an AI-generated voice of Secretary of State Marco Rubio to contact U.S. and foreign officials. They contacted 3 foreign ministers and 2 U.S. officials via the Signal messaging app. And the biggest earthquake swarm in 16 years at Mount Rainier in Washington State. Hundreds of small earthquakes felt across a range of the mountain.
An earth jiggle. An earth shimmy.
Earth jiggle.
And by the way, just remember, what was it, 165 that were saved by those Coast Guardsmen, you know, the guardsmen from Corpus Christi that would have otherwise...
Local news every hour. And